Kevin Smith. Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, ladies and gentlemen, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous planet. Thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on earth. It's the show where you matter. We're here because you have a right to know. You have a right to know that tomorrow is Friday, and that's K-Files Day. That means that we'll be sending out our free weekly newsletter, and the operative word there is free. So if you're not subscribed to it, be sure you do. Get over to the website, kevinsmithshow.com, and click the link that says K-Files. It takes a few seconds to subscribe. You get a confirmation email with a link in it that you have to click in order to activate your subscription. And then you're in. You can unsubscribe anytime you want to, but do it now, and you'll get this week's edition of the K-Files, which does have an update on Command Sergeant Major Norton. I know you'll be interested in following that. Tonight is going to be open line night, BYOT tonight. Bring your own topic. I do have some things I'm going to throw on the table here at the beginning of the show, but after that, we can either talk about those things or whatever else there may be upon your gray cells. I'd like to invite you to come join our community in the members area. Got a great community of people in there, and I think it's something you would really enjoy being a part of. Also, I want to remind you that until Saturday, that means at midnight plus 1 minute, Friday. Okay, so Friday at midnight plus 1 minute, we're into Saturday. Until then, you can get my book, Gods in the Garden, as an e-book, and it's $9. Now, you'll see the Gods in the Garden picture on the website. There's a link under it. Just click that, and you can get it. What this book does is it takes a look at the actual words that are in Genesis. I know that doesn't sound unique. Believe me, it is unique. Believe me, if you haven't read this book, you probably do not know what Genesis really says about the origins of things. This book doesn't promote Genesis as being the accurate story. It simply takes this approach. Before you decide to believe it's the accurate story, or before you decide to not believe it's the accurate story, it's sort of necessary to know the story, to know what it actually says. And what it really actually says, just, you know, it's written with words. Words have definitions. What it actually just says in its own words is way different from what you've been told by religion. It really is. Now, you can get your hands on that book for $9 between now and Saturday. But 1 minute after midnight on Friday, that's Saturday. So at 1 minute after midnight on Friday, that offer disappears. All right? So, and there's a reason for that. It's very limited time. But if you want it, it's there, and I hope you get it. We will be back with Open Line Live, BYOT, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Tonight is Open Line Night, and boy, I love Open Line Night. And from the emails that we get from our audience, I would assume from the emails, because of the volume and the number, the audience in majority loves Open Line Night, because we get to talk about whatever you want to talk about. If I bring some topics, but then if you don't want to talk about those topics, it works sort of like the old jukeboxes. Remember those? You know, you go put your money in, only this one doesn't cost you money. But you put your money in and you punch some numbers in, and it's those numbers correspond to a record, and it puts the record on and plays it. Nowadays it's a CD or a DVD. And so it works kind of like that. If you don't like the topic we're talking about, or if you like one better, all you have to do is punch the magic numbers, and the talk show jukebox will bring you right here to the studio, and you tell us what's the topic you want to talk about, and we'll talk about it, as long as it's within our genre, which is very broad indeed. The genre is the world of the strange and unexplained. Couple of quick things. There was a big aftershock earthquake in Japan today, in that same northern region that got hit by the monster earthquake and tsunami. It was 7.4 on the Richter scale. There was an earthquake in Mexico today as well, 6.5. And so the ring of fire is not through rumbling. All right. Another quick announcement. If you have not been to YouTube and downloaded that show that I did with Command Sergeant Major James Norton, you need to go over there and download it. Now, there are a number of free programs that you can download that will then download video from YouTube for you. You need to download that. Based on information I got last night, I would suspect that will not be up much longer. Now, it might be, but I'm just a little bit suspicious that it might be taken down from YouTube, where you can't see it on YouTube. So get over there and download it, then you'll have it, all right? Let's talk about NASA for a minute. Some weird stuff happening here with NASA. And I have a secret plan for them that I'm going to make it not secret. I'm going to go ahead and tell it right out here on the radio, on the airwaves. I'm going to reveal my secret plan for NASA. What's happening is, of course, you know, they were told, forget going back to the moon. Oh, and by the way, that thing to Mars, that's too dangerous. We might land on an asteroid out there somewhere, but you guys need to kind of forget that manned space stuff. So now, for those of you who are maybe not aware of this, there has been, since the end of the Bush administration and the beginning of the Obama administration, quite a financial crisis in America. There are people around the world who hate America enough that their attitude is, that's good enough for them. America ought to have this financial crisis, and America ought to just go under. Yeah, well, look, regardless of what your reasons are for if you hate America, regardless of what those reasons are, and they may be justified, the fact is, if America goes under, most of the economies of the planet will go under. That's just the way it works. It's a fact. It's not good for anybody in the world for America to go under. But we've got this financial crisis, and these people that have been elected and sent to Washington have not been able to come up with a current budget. We've been operating without a budget. Are you aware of that? The largest economy on the planet operating without a budget. And they haven't been able to come up with one. And so what they've done is they have passed, and we've been operating on, a temporary measure that simply keeps all the budget stuff from last year in place. The spending levels right there. And now we're coming to the end of that temporary thing, April the 9th, and they are not able even to come up with a compromise as yet for another temporary measure to keep the government open. But what they're proposing to do, they're proposing some cuts some measures and trying to hash it out and trying to come up with an agreement. And if they can come up with that agreement, they'll pass it, and the government doesn't have to shut down. At least, you know, for a week or a month or something like that. It'll be temporary. And then they'll have to go through all this again. Well, in their search for cuts, they looked at NASA. And they said, well, let's just take $180 million out of their money. Now, let's see. NASA has given us national pride. They've given us science and technology advances and some pretty spectacular discoveries out there. Now, what have the politicians given us? Let's see. Debt beyond the foreseeable horizons. Whole lot less freedom. War. And crisis after crisis. If anyone ever deserved to have to work for no pay at all, it's Congress. However, they haven't even looked at cutting their pay. They want to take it from NASA, but you can bet your bottom dollar, and you're probably at or below your bottom dollar now, thanks to these people. All right, you can bet your bottom dollar that if the government shuts down, there will be parts of it that still function, and most especially the part that writes the paychecks for Congress. So I've come up with a secret plan whereby NASA might be able, if they do this right, they might be able to get public opinion so much on their side that not only do they not lose their $180 million, they may actually get a budget increase, and it ought to be, if this plan is put in place, the budget increase ought to be double. They ought to double their budget. So I know that each night we have people from various parts of the government listening to the show. As a matter of fact, had that confirmed to me today about one particular alphabet agency. And that's good. I don't mind because we're looking for listeners, you know. And I'm glad to know we have fans in the government as well. So that includes NASA. Now, NASA, we do have a number of NASA government computers logged in every night, and I'm delighted that they are here. I truly am. And here's a secret plan for you to take back to your bosses, and perhaps if you do this, you might have so much public opinion on your side that you get to keep your $180 million plus get a big increase. It just might work that way. See what you think about this. First of all, now, you guys at NASA that are listening, I'm quite serious about this. I really am serious about this. And I recommend that you take notes, write this down, and present it to your bosses. And you know, when you do, you can say, that crazy Kevin Smith said this is what you ought to do. All right, here you go. The first thing you need to do is to remember that we are your employers. We, the people, own you. We are your employers. And if you're getting a paycheck from NASA, you're getting it out of our pockets. Remember that. Secondly, release uncensored, untouched, not airbrushed, photographs of the moon and Mars. You know, all of those where you painted out the alien structures. Release to us the originals. Stop hiding the information from the people who are paying you. So release those photographs immediately. Now, when you do this, when you release those, I guarantee you there is going to be a small wake. You know, like behind a boat, there's going to be a small wake that just sort of rocks Washington a little bit. That's okay. Washington needs to be rocked a little bit. All right? So you release those. If you don't get results and they still want to cut your budget, or if you at least get to keep your budget, but they don't talk about increasing it, then the next thing you do is you start telling us the truth about the true conditions on Mars. See, we've been able to ferret out from what you have released that the true conditions on Mars are very different from what you've been telling us. Your public statements don't match your own evidence that you've released. So start telling us the true conditions on Mars. Now, when you do this, it'll be a pretty sizable wake that ripples through Washington and get the attention of some of these. Now, look, I'm going to say something. It does not apply to everyone who's been elected and sent to Washington, but it does apply to most. It will get the attention of some of the brain dead that are up there. Some of those folks are in a persistent vegetative state. They can't see reality. They don't know reality if it bites them on the rear. There are some, however, who really do get it. There are some. Now, NASA, if that doesn't work, then here's what you do. You go back and tell us the absolute truth about the Levin experiment that was on the Viking lander. See, we've known for years that you found evidence of biological process. We have known that. And all the while, you've been telling us that you didn't. We've known it, and you've been telling us, oh no, that was a mistake. We ran another experiment, and that one didn't show any evidence of biological process. But see, we figured it out. We figured it out that that second experiment you ran was not designed to find evidence of biological process, and so it didn't. We had that figured out. The people that own you, the people that are paying you out of our pockets, we are not as stupid as you might think we are. We know when you're giving us a snow job. And that one was like an avalanche. So if you still aren't getting the results you want out of D.C. and you really want to get the public on your side in this battle for the budget, just come out and tell us the truth about the Levin experiment, because we already know it. But the fact that you step to the microphones, stand in front of the camera, and tell us the truth is really going to cause diarrhea in D.C. I mean, that's really going to do it. But the peak of it all, the epitome of it all, if you still are not getting their attention and you're not getting what you want and you really want to get the public on your side, stop obfuscating about unidentified aerial phenomena. Stop double talking and just tell the truth, because we already know it. We already know that all of those ice crystals out there are not ice crystals. We already know that you videotaped a long line of UFOs behind the International Space Agency. You aired it live because it was a live feed, and we have it. So just step to the microphones and say, well, here's the deal, folks. We've been exploring space for a long time. We know a lot about it, and a lot of it we haven't told you, so here goes. There are UFOs, and there is intelligent extraterrestrial life all around us. Now, when you do that, you will pretty much own the budget. When you do that, you're going to have the public on your side like you've never seen before. Now, you got a little taste of this when there were plans to shut down the Hubble Space Telescope. And there was a great outcry from the public because that was the one thing you've done since the Apollo program that the public was excited about. The public's really not excited about the International Space Station. That doesn't mean it isn't important. It just means, yeah, so what? That's the attitude of the public about the ISS. So what? But the Hubble was something we were all interested in, and people were excited about it. Consequently, when there were plans to shut it down, there was a public outcry that went all the way to Congress, woke up the brain dead, and Congress actually got on your side with that, and they extended the Hubble Space Telescope mission. And it's still operational today as a result of that. The most successful mission, perhaps, that you have ever conducted. And it was because we, you know, the people who own you, got on your side for that one. Now, that was just a little taste. But believe me, the tsunami of reason, the tsunami of change that will run through D.C. is almost indescribable. If you do the things that I've outlined in my secret plan to put you back in the space business, to put you back in the place of being a premier space agency, because I have here on my desk, and I'm going to share with the people in a moment, evidence that while you're going down, others are coming up, and you're not long for the position of the premier space agency. It's time to change it. And I've just told you how. We'll be back right after this. Kevin Smith Show, and it is going to be open line in just a moment, and I hope you have some stuff on your mind that you would like for us to talk about here on the show tonight, and usually you bring some fantastic topics. I hope you do it tonight. I mentioned before we went to break that I have on my desk here proof that NASA is, while it's apparently in decline, there are other space agencies that are not, and they are growing. I'm reading here from a report in, this is a Reuters report out of Russia, that They say they're going to boost their efforts to explore the solar system and seek a bigger share of the market for space launches in the next decade. That was announced by Prime Minister Vladimir Putin on Thursday. That would be today. Speaking ahead of the 50th anniversary of Yuri Gagarin's pioneering spaceflight, Putin said that Russia plans to go beyond transporting crews to the International Space Station. He says we're not going to limit ourselves to the space station. We're going to expand what we're doing, and we want a bigger share of the global market for space launches. So you've got, and by the way, they have lots of money as a result of their energy resources. So they are looking at expanding. While here in America, because the politicians have only looked at expanding spending on everything in the world except space, now they're talking about cutting NASA. They've already told them, no, you can't go back to the moon. They've already told them, no, you can't go to Mars. Russia's planning to go to Mars. One real exciting space goal was set for us, though. Really exciting, thrilling. It's almost as thrilling as a big roller coaster, and that is we get to go land on an asteroid someday. Okay. I would recommend that all of the folks at NASA who took those notes, I recommend you put them in the suggestion box down there and get them to your leaders, okay? Because they are quite serious in it was not a joke. I quite seriously believe if you do those things that I outlined for you, you will get the public on your side again. You know, if you just came out and said the truth, I mean, really, to the people, you know, that own you, you are owned by the people. It's the people that are paying you. So if you just told the truth to the people about what you've actually found out there, and we know what you found, if you just told the truth, the people would be on your side again, and Congress wouldn't have a choice. They would have to fund you adequately. And you would be going back to the moon, and you would be going to Mars. And you would be developing advanced propulsion systems, really advanced. I mean, come on. You're still using bottle rocket technology. All right. Another thing here that's pretty interesting about NASA is that they have this project called Project Morpheus. Do you know what that is? Well, Project Morpheus is a project for beginning flight tests on a new lander system. Okay? Now, this is what's so curious. The lander system is something that it was developed because we were headed back to the moon. Remember George Bush, George W., announced that we're going to go back to the moon, and then we're going to have a permanent human presence on the moon, and then from there we're going to Mars. Remember? Very exciting, very ambitious, and today it is canceled. It's dead. Well, this new lander was developed as a result of all of that. So they're going to begin flight testing the thing. And they've put out a press release, NASA's put out a press release, saying that they're going to start flight testing this prototype spacecraft. And it's going to happen down in the Houston area, kind of out in the middle of their 1,600-acre estate there. And so they put this out so that when people hear the rumbling of this, they will know what it is. Now, what's curious about that is you guys didn't get the memo. You're not going back to the moon, and you're not going to Mars. Where are you going to land? Oh, well. Project Morpheus, that's coming up, and people in the Houston area, around Houston, Texas, all of you folks down there, when you start hearing the rumblings, you need to remember it's Project Morpheus. They're testing a lander that's got no place to go. All right? Bulgaria. Remember the story of Dr. Lakhazar Filipov? Remember that? Now, Dr. Lakhazar Filipov is the number two guy in their version of NASA, in their Space Research Institute. And last year, he gave an interview to a newspaper there in Bulgaria in which he said, number one, extraterrestrials are real. Number two, extraterrestrials are visiting Earth. Number three, we are in contact with them. And there was a fourth thing in that first article, and that's what really got my attention, because he said that there had been a press, we call it a press conference, they called it a media presentation, a press presentation. We call it a press conference. He said there had been a press conference at which certain of these extraterrestrials were present, and they answered questions put to them by members of the Bulgarian Academy of Science. Well, that is explosive information, isn't it? A press conference and extraterrestrials were present, and they answered questions put to them by the Bulgarian Academy of Sciences? Explosive information for a couple of reasons. One is that's the first time we heard about that press conference. The press didn't tell us about it. The media didn't tell us about it. Lakhazar Filipov did. But the media never showed us that press conference, and still haven't. And then two things happened. That statement disappeared from all subsequent articles about Dr. Filipov and the extraterrestrials. That statement disappeared. It was in that one article, and it wasn't in any subsequent articles. That screams that it was true. Secondly, Dr. Filipov disappeared for about 10 days. As far as I know, the Kevin Smith Show was the only Western media to be in actual contact with him. Some people emailed him, and they got this form email back, and they said, oh, we got a letter from Dr. Filipov. We talked to him on the telephone, and he invited us to come to Bulgaria to interview him, and he said he would show us the evidence. He would show us that the extraterrestrials are here. He said, I'll show you what we know. But that was, that first article came out. The telephone conversation with him was that night here. It was morning there. Early in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning there. So we had actual telephone conversation with him, and we were making arrangements to go to Bulgaria. And then he disappeared. We couldn't get him back on the phone. And he was disappeared for about 10 days. When he reappeared showing very, I think, obvious signs of having been subjected to sleep deprivation. When he reappeared to speak with a news crew from Hrvatska, Croatia. That news crew, the reporter, said he thought Dr. Filipov was intoxicated. But I've got videos about this on YouTube. You can see them, and I explained to you why there are no signs of intoxication. There are signs of sleep deprivation. But in that interview, the reporter kept asking him, and it was an interview that was done, it was filmed. I was able to obtain a copy of that. I am not at liberty to put it out because I don't own it, but I was able to obtain a copy of it for research purposes. And I watched it, and I listened, and I watched it, and I listened, and I watched it, and I listened again and again and again. And at one point, that reporter says, actually for about the third or fourth time, he asks this question, and Dr. Filipov kept evading the question. But at one point, he finally, he says, you know, you got to tell us, you know, are you in contact with extraterrestrials? And Dr. Filipov's answer was, that is the information that if I give you, they will kill me. Those are the questions that if I answer, they will kill me. Well, here we are, about a year later, and a poll was done in Bulgaria to find out what people think about extraterrestrials. And the result of this poll says that 11% of Bulgaria say they have had some contact with extraterrestrials. 11% of Bulgaria has had some contact with extraterrestrials. Now, that's various forms of contact. This poll just came out. It's only a few days old. various forms of contact. Everything from seeing a UFO to face-to-face contact with extraterrestrial beings, but 11%. Dr. Filipov, of course, went silent on the subject. He was very excited about it when we talked to him, but 10 days later, he wasn't excited at all. And he, as far as I know, has made no further public statements on this. Now, this is a very serious space scientist. When I printed out his curriculum vitae, just listing all his credits, all the research he's done, the projects he's been on, the papers he's published, the books he's been quoted in and that he has written in, took 12 pages. This is a serious space scientist. But he got suppressed. Nevertheless, 11% of his countrymen say we've had contact with him. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and I'm going to open the phone lines in just a moment, so get your fingers ready to do the dialing. I want to explain how this works for those of you who are brand new to the Kevin Smith Show. When we do an open line live night, we have our main telephone numbers, and I'll be giving those out. We also have a line for first-time callers. So we have a lot of people listen to the show every night and have never called in, and you really ought to. I don't bite. I don't eat people. You really ought to call in and share with us what your thoughts are on things. Maybe there's a topic you think we need to be discussing, something that interests you within the field of the strange and unexplained. And so wherever you happen to be on planet Earth, the number I give out for first-time callers will work, okay? And that number is reserved for first-time callers to make it a little bit easier for you to get in. The main number will also work from anywhere on Earth. And we have something called flash messages. The flash messages are reserved for people who are not in the USA and not in Canada. So if you're not in the USA, you're not in Canada, you can call our main numbers. They work from anywhere in the world. Or You can use the flash message option on my website. It's there because I don't have a toll-free number internationally, okay? Couldn't find one. All right, what's on your mind? Maybe you want to talk about some of the things I've mentioned here tonight, or maybe you want to talk about Command Sergeant Major Norton and what's going on with him and the shows that we've done about that. Maybe you want to talk about HARP or Hubble or something having to do with advanced technology. That's okay, too. Whatever it is that's on your mind within our genre, you may bring it to the show. All right, now, here are our telephone numbers. The main number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. The toll-free number in the USA and Canada is 888-223-4599. The first-time caller number is 623-237-3814. All right. Let's go to the telephone. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent.
I find it interesting that the guys in Japan are starting to put nitrogen on their reactor cores.
Yes, indeed they are.
You did?
Yeah. They got that idea. There's a guy that Dr. Resnick contacted. And this particular guy owns an air service in the South Pacific. And he happens to know some people in the Japanese government. So Dr. Resnick was in contact with him, told him the idea, how it would work, and so forth. This guy contacted those people in the Japanese government, shared the idea with them, and the Japanese government went out and got a different company to do it. But at least there is an article written by the guy that runs that air service. It's online, and it credits Dr. Resnick and Ron Stewart for the idea.
Now, here's one other thing for you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is not politics, but if they really want to cut the budget,
mm-hmm.
they have an entitlement program they got to get rid of.
What is that?
Every person who has served in Congress and is still alive, a senator or a representative, has served one term. They can retire with full benefits, full health, full pay, everything. That is their private entitlement program. Get rid of that, save a lot of money.
Well, the best thing you could do for our budget deficit is to get rid of Congress. Scrap all of them and get a whole new bunch. But, yeah, you're right. You're right. Hey, Brent, thanks for the call.
Yep, goodbye.
All right. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. That's the main number. Toll-free, 888-223-4599. And first-time caller line is 623-237-3814. Now, what Brent was referring to is a show that we did with Dr. Joe Resnick and with Professor Ron Stewart, where they showed us some very specialized photographs that they had, I don't want to say develop because that sounds like a chemical process. It was not a chemical process, but these are photographs that had been derived from ORI technology used by and developed by and then used by Professor Ron Stewart and Joseph Resnick to be able to look really inside of the core of the reactor and see what was going on in there. And then they came up with the idea that if you put liquid nitrogen on the core and they had, you know, a specialized way to do it. But if you did it, it would deprive that core of oxygen, which would cause it to start cooling down. But at the same time, the liquid nitrogen, which is really, really cold stuff, would start cooling down the core as well. And you could take it all the way down to zero. And finally, now, that is what the Japanese government is doing, or I say the government, the whoever is running that operation to bring that core under control. They are using liquid nitrogen, and it is working. And it's working just like Dr. Resnick and Professor Stewart said it would. And so they may actually get this thing under control. And that would be a good thing, wouldn't it? Because right now, they, you know, what we're looking at is lots of radiation has been released, not only into the air, but they've dumped over 2.5 million gallons of radioactive water into the ocean. Not a real smart move for the planet, I would suggest. But there you go. You know, some places around the world, if you go swimming in the ocean this summer, you may find out you glow in the dark at nighttime. I hope they get this thing fixed. I hope they get it under control, because if they don't get it under control, and I mean really, really soon, it's already been too long. They don't get it under control really, really soon. It's going to keep getting worse and worse and worse. And not just for the people of Japan, but for the people of terra firma, for this planet. You and I and everybody you know will suffer from this if they don't get this under control. So I'm hoping the best for them. 623-444-5889 is the telephone number. It's Open Line Live, BYOT. Bring your own topic. And if you bring your own topic, we will talk about it. Now, again, it has to be within our genre. Now, what I'm talking about is, you know, we're not going to talk about recipes. We're not going to talk about how to make men, how to make your hair grow back, although I would be interested in that. It's not part of this show. We're not going to talk about boxing and football and baseball and cricket and all that stuff. But if you, you know, you want to talk about Mothman, you want to talk about ghosts, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, Loch Ness Monster, Nessie, you want to talk about UFOs, extraterrestrials, reptilians, whatever it is you wish to talk about, we will. Now, I got an email from a person who says, Dear Mr. Smith, why have you stopped taking telephone calls? I didn't. You stopped calling. Caller, you hang on, and after this break, we'll get to you, all right? With the telephone, it's kind of like use it or lose it. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, BYOT. Bring your own topic tonight, and let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. This is Donna from California.
Hello, Donna.
Hey, you know, the other day I was in the members area, and I was reading around some of the forums and stuff, and there was a comment in there, and it had a link, and it said an interview with you and James Horak. And so, of course, I clicked it, and, you know, one thing led to another, and I fished around, and I came across something from James Horak where he made a reference to he was investigating or he was involved with some activities with the Kenneth Copeland Ministries.
Uh-huh.
Do you know anything about that? Because it didn't elaborate, and I was just wondering what was going on with that.
I do, but I'm not at liberty to talk about it. Yes, I know quite a bit about that.
Can you direct me how I can find out about it?
Until he publishes whatever he has found, no. And I can't talk about it till he publishes it. If he publishes, I'll be more than happy to talk about it. But yes, and it's quite interesting.
Okay. Well, maybe he can call in and tell us.
Oh, well, if he wants to, he certainly is welcome to do so, and be glad to talk with him about it. Okay. But it wouldn't be fair for me to talk about it because he, as far as I know, has not yet published anything on it.
All right.
Okay, sorry.
Well, thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
623-444-5889. That's the main number. Toll free, 888-223-4599 in the USA and Canada. If you're outside the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can, if you wish, avail yourself of the flash message feature on my website. And you do that by going to KevinSmithShow.com and scroll down. You'll see the picture about tonight's show, and on the right side of that, you'll see the link that says flash message. But please, if you're in the USA or Canada, we'll even pay for your phone call, so just call us, okay? I don't bite. I really don't. Saw something interesting on the internet that you may already be familiar with. Maybe you're not. But it's really, I thought, very interesting, especially because of the fact that, you know, there are so many people that now they say, look, the Roswell incident has been hashed to death. Everybody's talked about it till there's nothing left to talk about. At the same time, you have the perpetual skeptobunkers who are saying things like, well, there's no proof of it. Yeah, there is. And after this call, I'll tell you about it. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Doug in northeastern Louisiana. We spoke once before. You were talking earlier about how NASA has been left with empty pockets and no plans for production.
Well, not empty pockets. Well, but certainly not sufficient.
Anyway.
Yeah, not sufficient pockets.
Anyway, that's just part of the overall pattern. If you think about it, every source of pride that America has, that its people has been reduced to zilch. They took away NASA. They destroyed American oil production. They tarnished the image of the military. They've just demolished the borders. And the enforcement of the border controls.
Do we have borders?
Yeah, you see what I mean. Yeah, and of course the dollar in its pathetic image, it goes from the world benchmark for currency to just unacceptable in some regions. And now, with all that, it's come down to. The Constitution now is on the table for suspension in case of necessity, and that's a sad thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is. It's certainly not the America that was delivered to us by those who fought World War II. It's not the certainly not the America that I was brought up in.
I'm losing you, so I'll get off this telephone. It's a cell phone, of course. Thank you very much. I'm on the side.
Okay, thank you much. Yeah, well, you know, that's true. I remember when it was the land of the free, the home of the brave, and I liked it. And I would like to see it be that again. Land of the free, home of the brave. Still the home of the brave. All right, told you I was going to share with you. I said there is proof that it's real. The Roswell crash was real. And that proof is in the form of a memo, a document that until recently was never released to the public, fairly recently, but due to freedom of information has been, it is redacted, but it is not one of those where they only left you three words that you could read and blacked out everything else. It's not one of those. They took out some names. That's all they did. They took out some names. And this is a memo that was written by the special agent in charge, special agent in the FBI, special agent in charge of Washington, D.C., where he looked into this Roswell thing in 1950, 3 years, just 3 years after Roswell. And he spoke with an Air Force investigator who told him that, in fact, there were two flying discs that were brought down, apparently accidentally, by the radar systems that were new and being used and tested and bumped up in power and so forth in that area. And apparently it interfered with their ability, with these flying discs' ability to control their craft, and that bodies were recovered. A U.S. Air Force investigator told the special agent of the FBI that information. And that's in a memo written by that special agent in 1950, and it's available online. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Aaron from San Antonio.
Hello, Aaron. How are you?
I'm doing good. You were talking about the NASA budget.
Yeah.
I was reading in Popular Science that the space elevator, I don't know if you heard of that.
Yeah.
That could be done for about $14 billion. And if you think about all the money that we're spending on, well, I know the space shuttle program is being cut down, but the other stuff, such as Morpheus and all that, that's a lot more expensive from what I understand. What do you think about doing the space elevator instead of Morpheus?
Well, you know, my problem with the space elevator is not that there is a problem with it. My problem with the space elevator is that I don't understand really how that would benefit us, other than just getting up to the space station. And if all we're going to do in our space program is go to the space station, we really ought to just close down. We've done that. We've done that to death. If we're not going to get out there and explore the planets and, really do some real discovery, some real exploration, if we're not going to do that, then, the whole thing's, in my opinion, a waste of money. But having said that, their budget, let me look. I've got it written down here. Their budget in 2010, and of course we do not have a 2011 budget. That's a problem. But their budget in 2010 was 18.3 or 18.7 billion. I saw both figures, and I don't know which one is accurate. So somewhere between 18.3 billion and 18.7 billion. Now, think of this. We'll take the high number, 18.7 billion. That's almost $19 billion for exploring the universe. And we're talking about $19 billion out of a budget that's way over a trillion. It's not even a drop in the bucket. And, it's just ridiculous. It's embarrassingly ridiculous that Congress is doing that.
I'm not trying to get political or anything, but it's a drop in the hat. It really is. So,
well, The point is, whether they're Democrats or Republicans or Independents or Libertarians or Daffy Ducks, I don't care. The idea that somehow $18.7 billion represents a large amount of money in our budget, that's ridiculous. And, you know, they always, here they come saying we're going to cut NASA in order to get this budget deal. Ridiculous. You know, there are a whole bunch of places they could cut and actually have money left over to give to NASA. And they really ought to. And they ought to tell them, look, you guys quit lying to the public. Here's your money. Now, let's get on with this and let's go get the universe. They really ought to do that.
Well, it may be just more of our space operations are going to the Air Force, secret operations, of course, but more operations to the Air Force than to actual NASA.
That's true. You know, this new little miniature shuttle that the Air Force has that went up there and did that secret mission, remember that?
I think so.
And I forget what it's called. It's the something 37, I think, is the T-37. Anyway, looks like a space shuttle, but it's a miniature version of it, and it's unmanned. However, a lot of people don't know this, NASA designed it and built it. It was done all under NASA, and it's designed to be able to carry a crew of two. And even if they send it, they told us they sent it up unmanned, they could send it up with a crew of two in it. But when they got it to a certain stage, then they turned it over to the Air Force because they were doing it on contract for the Air Force. So you're right about that. But, you know, here's the deal. If that's how it's going to be, if they're going to spend the money to do it just with the military, then they need to be merciful with the taxpayer and just go ahead and kill NASA. But if you're going to have NASA, then quit joking about the funds. If you're going to have NASA, get on with it. Give them double their budget, tell them to stop lying to the public, and tell them to get on with this. We're going to go land on an asteroid. Oh, boy. That's exciting.
I kind of disagree on that. I think that would be a good step.
I don't think it's going to be I don't think it's going to be at all profitable scientifically to land a human on an asteroid. To land a probe on the asteroid with all kinds of data gathering information, yes, that would be cool. But to land a human there, for what purpose? You're never going to be able to have a colony on this asteroid. I mean, it's just my opinion, you know.
I disagree on the profitability of it as far as the technologies developed to go to the asteroid and land a probe.
Okay, that's fair enough. What do you think the benefit will be for us?
Well, I think I read, like, one of the asteroids out there, if we can land on it, if you're a long-term investor, some of these nickel and some of these minerals on these asteroids are extremely valuable. And if you can look for the long term, then it can be extremely possible.
Well, in order to be able to profit from that, you have to be able to set up some type of mining operation on that asteroid.
And that's where the technology comes into it, where you start developing that technology, sell that technology, so on and so forth. But you have to think very, very long term.
You know, the moon is rich in nickel as well, but we're not going back. And you wouldn't have to have a very long-term plan compared to what you would have to have for an asteroid. Don't you think it'd be better to go back to the moon and get nickel?
I forget what the moon has. It's like a certain field. I forget, it was H3 or something like that.
It has H3. It's got titanium. It's got HE3 is what it is. It's helium-3. It's got titanium. It's got nickel. It's got all kinds of stuff. And it's just sitting out there looking at us every night. It's close. It's right in our backyard here.
I agree. I'm not saying we should rule out the moon as well. But I think both of them are, either way, that's why I disagree about the space elevator. I think it's just a good start. You got to get started somewhere. You got to get.
How would the space elevator help us in space exploration?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
How would the space elevator help us in space exploration?
It will help us because in terms of cost, in terms of fuel cost, lifting 1 pound, I forget, it's like 1,000 pounds of fuel, something like that, with fuel costs going up, space elevator becomes a lot cheaper to go up and down.
Okay, but when you get up to the top, what are you going to do up there?
You can build a short jump to the moon, I guess. It would be a lot easier from blasting off every time from Earth than you're already in low gravity, no gravity, going to the moon, rather than having to use fuel every time.
Okay, so what you're saying is you would use a space elevator. Okay, so you would have your spaceship up there.
Yep.
The space elevator would carry the cargo.
To build stuff in space,
mm-hmm.
rather than build it on the ground and try to lift it up there
mm-hmm.
via fuel, rocket, or whatever have you.
Mm-hmm.
You already have the space elevator to slowly but surely carry equipment up and down at a relative ease, rather than spending fuel.
Well, if we have a manned space program where we're actually going to go explore Mars, we're actually going to explore the moon, etc., if that's what we're up to, then I would see the space elevator as something that would be a good thing for all the reasons that you have mentioned, and that would be a good thing. If all it's going to do, though, is basically service the space station or maybe another space station. You know, we've already space stationed this thing to death. It's time to get on with exploration, in my opinion. And if all it's going to do is service a space station, I wouldn't be too excited about it.
It may not be exciting, but I think in the long term it'll be more practical. I'm not sure about that, but
yeah. But when you're asking people to spend money to do something, it's got to be something that they're excited about and that they believe in. Otherwise, that's called taxation without representation. So, you know, if we're really going to do what NASA said they were going to do, which is explore the solar system, and if we're going to do manned space missions to explore the solar system, I'm for it. If we're not going to do that, it's time to kill the campfire and call in the dogs. Party's over, because we just don't have the money. But
well,
we do have the money if we're doing something worth believing in.
Either we're going to die by the sun, or we're going to die in the big cold. Eventually, we're going to die. Earth is going to die.
That's correct.
By our hand or by the sun. So it's just time to get started. As you said, exploration, space elevator, time to get started.
I agree. Well, I hope the NASA guys are listening and taking notes and fill up the suggestion box in the morning.
Well, I'll let other callers get to it. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Really interesting call. Very good thought. 623-444-5889 is our main number. The toll-free number in the USA and Canada is 888 623-4599. If you're a first-time caller, you can call us at 623-237-3814. It'll be a little bit easier for you to get through. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is John from Conroe.
Hello, John.
Just wanted to chime in here with regard mining asteroids.
Uh-huh.
You know, there are many mineral deposits in the United States and South Africa and Canada that are associated with what are termed astroblems.
Mm-hmm.
That is where some object from space has impacted. Say, for example, the iron nickel belt in Sudbury.
Okay.
Or Rutherford Dome in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And so it might be worth looking into mining the, you know, the asteroids for that matter, because they are very rich.
Yeah, the thing about an asteroid, though, is that most of them have extremely long orbits. And the next time they come past, you know, it may be next century.
Well, that's probably true. I'm just talking from a mineralogical standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely rich.
Well, yes, and I agree with that. But from the logistics standpoint, it's coming through at a high rate of speed, and it's going way, way, way out there before it ever turns around and comes back this way. And a mining operation on an asteroid would require an ever-increasing amount of fuel to get the cargo back to Earth. And
got a point there.
Yeah, so I'm not too excited about asteroids. But
I have one other question for you.
Okay.
Had to do with Dr. Lear's program last night.
Yeah. Well, night before last.
You didn't take calls last night.
I've stopped taking calls. And the reason I stopped taking calls is because the audience makes me beg in order for them to call. So, you know, we do open line, and if the audience wants to call, well, we certainly want the audience to call. But it's not fair to a guest. Now, you know, we verifiably have a gigantic audience.
Mm-hmm.
Verifiably. Just my government computer audience is bigger than most internet radio shows, but we're not just internet. But just if that's all I had, it'd be bigger than most internet shows.
Mm-hmm.
So here we sit with this gigantic audience, and we have a guest who's excited about the fact that people are going to call and talk to them, and the guest does a fantastic job, and it's a top name guest, and we get like two calls. Well,
ouch.
Then it's almost impossible to get that guest back again.
No, I understand.
So since the audience has turned to text, chat rooms, popping popcorn, whatever it is they're doing while they're listening to the show, I have to live with the realities as they exist. And the realities as they exist is the culture has changed. And I can't put the guests through that.
I understand.
Yeah.
I did have a question for Dr. Lear, though, and
mm-hmm.
Maybe you can pass it on the next time you talk to him. I did send him a copy of those x-rays.
Uh-huh.
With a chain of custody directly from my dentist. And I still have...
Right, do you want to hang on through this break?
No, I gotta go.
Okay. Thanks for the call. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Right, 623-444-5889 is the main number here in the studio, and 888-223-4599 is the toll-free number. If you're a first-time caller, we have a line open for you. It is 623-237-3814. Open line nights. We still take calls. Yeah, I got an email where somebody was not angry, but, you know, disturbed that I have not been taking calls. But the reality is you got a gigantic audience, and it is you have the had the opportunity to personally engage with some of the top names on the planet in our genre, some of the top guests, some of the top names on the planet. And people weren't doing it, and I can't put the guests through that. All right, we have two callers on hold. Let's go to the first line, and this is a first-time caller line. And, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Jim from Ohio.
Okay, I got Ohio, but I didn't catch the name. What's the name?
Jim.
Jim. Okay, Jim, what's on your mind this evening?
Well, I was just wondering how many people that's been abducted that never says anything about it.
You know, Jim, I think it's probably most people that have been abducted don't say anything about it because it scares the daylights out of them. That's just my personal opinion. I think there are a great many people who have been abducted who, you know, it scares them.
I've got a grandson. He is about 2 years old. He was on my lap when he was watching cartoons, and he's talking about his little white friends. I asked him, where'd they come from? He said, I don't know. He said, they just come visit me at night. And I said, at night? He said, yeah. I said, well, what do they do? He said, well, they just play games. I said, well, can you draw me a picture of one of them? Well, he drew a alien face with a big black almond eyes.
Wow. How old is he?
He's about 2 or 3 years old.
2 or 3 years old.
Yep.
Wow. And how old is he now?
He's 19 now.
Does he still have these visitors?
I haven't asked him for a couple of years, but last time I asked him, it's been about 2 years ago maybe, I asked him, has his little white friends come back? And he said, oh, yeah, this is here about 6 months ago. I said, well, what do they want? He said, they just want to know how I was doing.
Wow. So he's very matter-of-fact about talking with you about it.
Oh, yeah, he it don't scare him a bit.
Man, that is...
In fact, he's short, and you'd swear he's an alien.
Well,
and that's no lie either. I believe he's a hybrid.
Well, let me ask you something. Has he ever written this up where people can read his story?
No, he never has.
Boy, it would be interesting if he would write it up and send it to us. That's a fascinating story.
Yeah. Well, my daughter, she was abducted when she was carrying him.
Wow. What does she say about it?
Oh, she believes them. Scared her.
She is scared of them?
Oh, yeah.
But your grandson is not scared of them.
Oh, no. Nope.
Wow. Man, that is a fascinating story. I hope you can convince him to write that up and send it to us.
Well, if I can convince him to do it, I will.
I sure appreciate it. And, okay. Jim, thank you for being a first-time caller. Don't let it be your last time.
Catch you about every night.
Okay. Well, you call us again, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye. And to our main line, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Okay. Tell me your first name again.
Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay. Jerome, how are you doing this evening?
Very good. How about yourself?
Outstanding, sir.
Hey, Kevin, this wasn't what I wanted to talk to you about, but your previous caller, whenever you get an abduction caller, can you ask him if there's any missing time for the whole family? Because it seems like it runs in the family.
Well, you are right about that. It does seem that it tends to run in the family. Have you ever been abducted, Jerome?
No, Kevin, I've never been abducted. I've never seen a UFO. But I'm 60 years old, and I remember when, I'm going to say 10 years old, but I'm not sure if that was the case or not. But we used to play on an avenue in front of the house, all the kids and stuff. And it was quite dark at the time. The street lights would be there, but if you got in between the street lights, it was dark. And you could look up and see the stars.
Mm-hmm.
And they just seemed like there was more than them. And I remember thinking, looking at the stars and thinking, if all those stars are suns, there has to be life.
Well, you're right. And, you know, it just doesn't make any sense at all that we would be, in all of this vastness, that we would be the only intelligent living creatures. That just doesn't seem logical. And
I was, like I said, I was quite young, and ever since that day, I mean, before you start watching Star Trek and all these movies and stuff, I was under the impression there's other life out there. The reason I called you, I wanted to know if you think that CSM Norton is safe.
I can tell you this much. I know quite a bit about what's happening. There is serious pressure and at least a serious attempt at intimidation happening. It doesn't seem to be affecting him. He seems to be okay with all of it. It doesn't seem to be getting the desired results, whatever that might be, because he's just moving ahead and being normal. So is he safe? I think at this point he probably is. And the fact that we are, when I say we, I mean this show, Paul Dale Roberts, the journalist, and a few others that are in contact with him, quite a few big name UFO investigators. The fact that we're putting light on the situation would make it a bit difficult. It wouldn't make it difficult for them to do something to him, but it would make it difficult for them to do it in secret.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think anything really is going to happen. I said earlier in the show, it was confirmed to me today that one of the big alphabet agencies does listen to this show. And, of course, I knew that, but it was confirmed by someone to me today that, yeah, they do. So they know that we're talking about it. They know that I'm publishing about it. They know Paul Dale Roberts is talking about it and publishing about it. So it would be just a little bit difficult for something to happen and them to be able to sweep it under the rug with some kind of stupid story. You know, so I really don't think something will happen to him other than the pressure and intimidation.
You almost think that the guy from Bulgaria would be better off just telling what he knows under the same, you know, circumstances to shed the light on it.
Well, yeah, but you see, he's dealing with a whole different thing there than we would have to deal with here. We have to deal with some mean, nasty, really rotten anti-American people that try to, under the guise of working for America, they try to shut up everyone who wants to talk about what they've seen. We have to deal with that. But there, you have to deal with the former secret police who although they were officially put out of business, they became high-level people. They're in the parliament. They're in the court system. They're in the foreign ministry. There are 40 of the former Derzhavnu Sigurnost agents who are in management positions at the Bulgarian Academy of Sciences, where Dr. Lakhizar Filipov works. Now, that Derzhavnu Sigurnost was known as being the deadliest secret agency on the face of the earth. They were so bad that when the Russians had something they really wanted to get done, they wanted somebody assassinated, and they didn't want to be caught doing it themselves, they got the Derzhavnu Sigurnost to do it. And that's what he's having to deal with.
Well, let's just wish him good health then.
Well, you're right, and I do wish him good health. I totally understand his going silent. It's, I think, completely understandable under the circumstances that he has to live with. Because you don't know, they may, he did say, if I tell you that, told the reporter, if those are the questions that if I tell you, they will kill me. But what we don't know, they know that, we know he said they'll kill him. What we don't know is who else in his family has been threatened.
I'm sure that's their style to threaten everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, not to change the subject, but on this NASA, I think here it's not our true space, you know, our true space mission. It's the underground, the private, the secret government space program that's taking all the money and stuff. And you know, I'm reading a book right now called "The Rise and Fall of Ancient Rome."
Yeah.
And it's really funny how when they had a republic, they would talk with the Senate and stuff, and then once the emperors came in, it didn't matter what the Senate wanted. It didn't matter what the people wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like that's what we have now.
You're right. Have you ever read the political platform called of Adolf Hitler, and it's called the 25 Principles?
I've never read it, but I've heard of it.
Well, you ought to go online and just do a search for Hitler's 25 points or 25 principles, and you'll find it. Read those, and all but about three of them, it's like reading something right out of the news today right here in the United States of America. All but about three of them we've got.
Well, you know, I think when that Operation Paperclip came in, and when they made agreements with aliens and stuff, we lost our open government.
Yeah, and the remnants left over, delivered to us, the remnants of freedom left over, delivered to us by the greatest generation, those are fading fast as well. They really are.
I agree.
All right, man, thanks for the call.
Thank you very much.
All right, bye-bye. We'll be back, folks, right after this, so don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, BYOT, Bring Your Own Topic Night here. It's Open Line Live tonight. And let's go to the telephone caller. You're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's John from Vancouver Island.
Hello, John. How are you this evening?
Well, pretty good, thank you. One thing I'd like to say right away is I'm calling not because I really have anything to say or I'm prepared. I just want the listening audience to know that, you know, if you don't have anything to say, you can still call in.
Okay.
But, you know, having said that, since it's BYOT, I read Bill Cooper a while ago.
Uh-huh.
And I'd like to talk about him because one thing that he talked about was when he was a young sailor, he saw a craft come out of the water and fly off into the air. And that's really what started the whole thing for him. Because he knew it wouldn't be one of ours,
uh-huh,
coming out of the water and going into the air. Now, the other thing about Bill Cooper is that got him going, but what he got embroiled with, he documented all of the executive orders from about Truman where there was this progression and evolution of where the president said, look, I want you to get the job done, but I don't want to know how you do it. So that's from Truman on up to the present moment, there's this, it just evolved into this huge rift between the president and what goes on, you know, elsewhere or covertly.
Okay, you're exactly correct. And the cure for it, since it came from a series of executive orders, the cure for it could be done in one afternoon. An executive order by the president that says every single secret program having to do with UFOs or extraterrestrials is hereby no longer covered by secrecy, and you're not covered. You will report to me. Failure to do so will mean that you will be prosecuted. So an executive order sets something in motion. An executive order can take it out of motion. It's as simple as issuing an executive order, worded something like that, signing the president's name to it, sending it to every agency of the government, and telling them to disseminate that to every sub-agency under them. And
how do you think you could support someone who would actually do that?
I don't understand the question.
Well, you know, if the people running for office,
mm-hmm,
they're already funded by, you know, certain channels that have been there for a long time. So, a contender who would be willing to do that wouldn't come from those channels. They would have to come from another channel.
Such a person could never be elected president if he made it public that that's what he was going to do. He would just have to do it once he was elected. And furthermore, he needs to publish that executive order on the front page of every newspaper in America. He needs to hold press conferences in front of CNN, NBC, yeah, CBS, ABC, Fox News, right, BBC, ABC in Australia, Pravda, everybody, and make it public.
So, you saying that, like, what are you actually saying?
I'm saying that it's within the power of every president to put an end to this. The power.
You're also saying that no one would get elected if they ran on that issue.
That's right. Get elected, and then just do it. You don't have to talk about it before you're elected.
So you're putting the message out now.
That's right. So what I'm saying is, the most powerful thing a president has is his pen. With the power of that pen writing his signature on an executive order like that, it becomes force of law within the federal government.
Yeah.
So just that easy, just that quickly, he can put an end to the secret machine.
Well, what do you think a president might be scared of to not do that?
Who knows? Who knows? But you know, if you've got a guy elected that's scared, if you have elected a guy that's scared, you elected the wrong guy.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. It takes guts to be a real president. And if he's scared, look, all of us have things that make us a little bit anxious, a little nervous, maybe even a little scared. But the real question is, what do you do once you are scared? Do you press forward and do what's right? If you do, you have courage and you're qualified to lead. If you don't, you don't have courage and you're not qualified to lead, and you need to go ahead and admit, hey, you know, I'm a coward. I can't be president, and just resign.
I agree with you about courage.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was only courage, I don't think that'd be enough.
With his pen, he can put an end to the secrecy. With his pen, in one day.
True.
But for his protection, he needs to publish that immediately. It needs to be all over the internet. It needs to be all over every newspaper, every television news organization. It's got to be everywhere. Everyone has to know that he's given that order.
So I take it that that's what you would want to see.
Yes.
Okay, so I would just say to the listening audience, let's all visualize that one and see what happens.
The president that does it could get reelected as many times as he wanted to. Hey, listen, I got to run, but thanks for the call.
Okay.
All right. I've got to get to this flash message from David in the United Kingdom. He says, hey, Kevin, a while ago I was working on a countdown to the apocalypse, and I needed a big number for the countdown, something symbolic. So I took the 3 years of Jesus' return from the age of 30 to the age of 33. Symbolically, Jesus was perfect, so I decided to use 3 perfect years. I converted the years into hours. 3 years and hours is 26,280 hours. So I had my countdown, which looked like this. And then he shows it listed as time. Then I thought, wow, 26,280, if you fractal that up into years, you're pretty close to the great year in the Mayan calendar. That supposedly ends December 2012. So I broke the number up. 26 is the name of Yahweh equals, and 280 in days is the amount of time it takes for a typical pregnancy. So symbolically, you could interpret this as meaning that every 26,280 years, Yahweh gives birth to a new age. Now, that's interesting. If this number is a fractal of significance, then 26,280 days works out to 72 years. The number 72 is religiously symbolic. 72, there are 72 names of God, or a 72-letter name for God, 72 virgins in paradise for the Muslims, Muslim martyrs. Also, 72 is roughly the average life expectancy of a man. But not only 72 hours... It, not only that, 72 hours is 3 days. 3 days of the resurrection, or as a fractal, 7.2 years, the tribulation mentioned in Revelation. This is very long. I'll have to publish it. We're out of time. All right, folks, that's it. That's going to be a wrap for this evening. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.